Frank Morris. The Ship That Saw a Ghost. Very much of this story must remain untold, for the reason that if it were definitely known what business I had aboard the tramp steam freighter Glarus, 300 miles off the South American coast, on a certain summer's day, some few years ago, I would very likely be obliged to answer a great many personal and direct questions put by fussy and impertinent experts in maritime law, who are paid to be inquisitive. Also, I would get Ali Bazan, Stroker, and Hardenberg into trouble. Suppose on that certain summer's day, you had asked of Lloyd's agency where the Glarus was, and what was her destination and cargo. You would have been told that she was 20 days out from Callao, bound north to San Francisco in ballast, that she had been spoken by the bark Medea and the steamer Benevento, that she was reported to have blown out a cylinder head, but being manageable, was proceeding on her way under sail. That is what Lloyd's would have answered. If you know something of the ways of ships and what is expected of them, you will understand that the Glarus, to be some 6,000 miles south of where Lloyd's would have her, and to be still going south, under full steam, was a scandal that would have made her brothers and sisters ostracize her finally and forever. And that is curious, too. Humans may indulge in vagaries innumerable, and may go far afield in the way of lying, but a ship may not so much as quibble without suspicion. The least lapse of regularity, the least difficulty in squaring performance with intuition, and behold, she is on the blacklist, and her captain, owners, officers, agents and consigners, and even supercargoes, are asked to explain. And the Glarus was already on the blacklist. From the beginning, her stars had been malign. As the Breda, she had first lost her reputation, seduced into a filibustering escapade down the South American coast, where, in the end, a plainclothes United States detective, that is to say, a revenue cutter, arrested her off Buenos Aires and brought her home, a prodigal daughter, besmirched and disgraced. After that, she was in some dreadful blackbirding business in a far quarter of the South Pacific. And after that, her name changed finally to the Glarus, poached seals for a syndicate of Dutchmen who lived in Tacoma and who afterwards built a clubhouse out of what she earned. And after that, we got her. We got her, I say, through Ryder's South Pacific Exploitation Company. The president had picked out a lovely little deal for Hardenberg, Stroker, and Ali Bazan, the three black crows, which he swore would make them independent rich the rest of their respective lives. It is a promising deal. B-300 it is on Ryder's map. And if you want to know more about it, you may write to ask Ryder what B-300 is. If he chooses to tell you, that is his affair. For B-300, let us confess it, is, as Hardenberg puts it, as crooked as a dog's hind leg. It is as risky as barratry. If you pull it off, you may, after paying Ryder his share, divide $65,000, or possibly $67,000 between you